Welcome to the Anti-Woke Podcast.
Anti-woke, 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 yeah. Anti-woke, 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 yeah. Let's do this. The Anti-Woke Podcast.
There was an interesting story on NBC Nightly News this week about some American men who are looking at 12-year prison sentences for having a couple bullets on them in Turks and Caicos. Turks and Caicos is an island kind of near the British Virgin Islands, Caribbean, and it's a tropical paradise. The people who live there are black. A lot of the people are refugees from Haiti, and Americans like to vacation there. And in 2022, they passed a law saying, if you got any sort of guns or bullets, 12 years minimum in prison. And it seems like people are grabbing the wrong luggage or they're not cleaning out their luggage good enough. A couple of the guys were hunters. They had gone on a hunting trip recently and there was some bullets left in their luggage. The other guy they interviewed on the show, he was into concealed carry and he also did not clean out his luggage enough. And I think the Biden administration was asked about this and they were like, that's the law in that country. You got to obey the law in the countries you visit. And these guys, I mean, I kind of doubt they'll really get 12 years. Currently, they're out on bail, so they're living in nice tropical paradise hotels, but they're not allowed to leave the country, and we shall see if NBC Nightly News ever tells me what happened. I don't know. I know in American airports, like, the TSA is finding guns in luggage, like, constantly, and it's just people forgetting that it's there. And that's not part of the three rules of gun safety, but anyways, people should be more careful. A high school principal got busted for racism. There were some recordings of him saying racist stuff, but then it turned out a disgruntled employee had made it all up using AI. NBC Nightly News covered the story this week, but they didn't play the clip, the made by AI racist statements. I'm like, come on, let me hear all these N-bombs. So I went to Twitter. Here's a clip.
You know, I seriously don't understand why I have to constantly put up with these dumbasses here every day. Between these ungrateful black kids who can't test their way out of a paper bag, or these teachers who don't get it, how hard is it to get these students to meet their grade level expectations? Lawrence and Ravenel should have never been hired. And don't let me get started on DJ. I'm going to drag his black ass out of here one way or another. I'm going to get something to stick. I'm just so sick of the inadequacies of these people. And if I have to get one more complaint from one more Jew in this community, I'm going to join the other side.
Well, I guess there were no N-bombs. I will say, it sounded pretty realistic, except for that part about the Jews. And the disgruntled employee was a black man. I think he was a coach or something. And some money had gone missing. And that caused a conflict between him and the principal. And it took a few months for the AI part to come out. So I think that principal had a harsh part of his year for a while. And I'm not sure how they figured out it was AI. The coach was arrested at the airport with a gun, but I don't think that was how they figured it out. I think that was because a warrant went out for his arrest for, I don't know, fabricating evidence or something. But people have been saying AI's coming and it's going to be putting words into people's mouths and, you know, making videos that you can't tell the difference and misinformation, disinformation. We need to censor free speech. And then the supposedly smart analysis was, no, what this is going to do is that no one will believe anything. They're like, any of it could be, you know, instead of believing the videos that you see of Biden doing something, you're just not going to believe any videos. You just, whatever you want to believe, you can keep believing it because you don't have to believe any video or audio recordings ever anymore. But I think this kind of shows the real answer is people are going to believe every video that they want to believe and they're going to disbelieve every video that they don't want to believe. If it makes you feel good to falsely believe that racist principles are running amok in America, you'd be like, oh, well, that one's real. I can tell. The campus protests against Israel-Gaza are big news this week. And I think just like the Vietnam War protests, protests do not stop wars. Especially if the war isn't even your country. But spring has sprung, it's the end of the school year, you know, finals are coming up. This would be a good time to do some protesting instead. Like, there's a joke about a drunk guy, it's late at night, he's gonna drive home drunk, and he can't find his car keys. And there's one streetlight out on the street, and he's searching for his keys underneath the streetlight, and someone's like, "Why are you looking there?" He's like, "It's the only place I can see." So, college protesters, they're not going to the White House or nothing. They're just doing it at college, you know, maybe possibly outside their dorm room door. Like, where are these protesters going to the bathroom? I think they spend half their time in their dorm room and, you know, half the time out in a tent. You get bored of waiting in the tent, you go to your dorm and play some video games, you know, cook up some food, go back to the tent. So I wish the nightly news would talk more about that. Something else I'd like to hear more about is, you know, what do protests have? They have a bunch of easily impressionable young women who get impressed by men who are standing up to the man. So I'd like to hear more about protest hookup culture. And what's been surprising is these woke colleges, how many times they're calling the cops on the protests. Like, there wasn't much protesting until Columbia University called the cops, and then basically universities all across the nation, the kids are like, "Oh, the cops will come? Then I'll go out." It's like a tree falling in the woods, you know. If no one hears your protest, then you don't care and you don't do it. And are the protests going to continue during summer vacation? Maybe then they can leave school and then they can go to the White House? Or they just stop protesting? And then we still got the anti-woke question of, can the woke protesters piss off the not quite in control of everything Jews enough to stamp out wokeness? We shall see. One of the things the protesters have been calling for is they want their universities to divest from any investments involved with Israel. This is the Ivy League protesters anyways. And I think it started at Columbia University. So I was like, well, you know, why don't you divest from Columbia University? Just, you know, drop out, quit, don't go to that school anymore. You want them to divest? Well, you know, lead the way. Or, you know, you're willing to fight for the Palestinians as long as that fight means having a fun vacation where you can chase some tail or be chased. I think the trial for actor Alec Baldwin is happening this year, where he shot a lady on a movie set and he thought the gun wasn't loaded or whatever. The young attractive armorer who's in charge of the guns already got convicted. I guess she's probably in prison now. I want to say she got something like 18 months. In fact, let's mention this. So, misdemeanor versus felony, jail versus prison. A lot of times, the difference between all those things is the one-year mark. So if you get a sentence that's less than a year, a lot of times you just do it in jail. And if it's longer than a year, prison. And then when the crime, is it a misdemeanor or a felony, it's usually whether or not it'll send you to the hoosegow for less than a year or more than a year. And that's misdemeanor versus felony. And I don't know if that's the minimum sentences more than a year or if the maximum is over a year. And I'm sure there's exceptions, but at least that was how I kind of had all this stuff in my mind. And I asked AI, and it said I was right, so I may or may not be right. So I think the assistant director on the Rust movie set handed the gun to Alec Baldwin and said, "Clear." And so he already pled guilty to something, and I don't think he got any jail time. And then the armorer, she got convicted like a month ago. So I don't know how much responsibility the actor, Alec Baldwin, has, if he's, you know, in between those two or more or less. And he's a lot richer, so he can maybe get a better lawyer, but I think the facts are kind of just the facts. Lawyer ain't going to change that. Well, in fact, I should be talking about this stuff after he's convicted. But there was a clip going around the internet this week where, I guess you would call her a Palestinian activist, was harassing Alec Baldwin and took a video of it. So there's this woman, she goes by Crackhead Barney, She's black. She's probably 35, kind of fat, not attractive, and dresses up kind of like a crackhead. And I think she's trying to be internet famous and make a living on the internet. I don't know if she sells lewds or what. Normally something I would look up, but not in this case. So she's harassing Alec Baldwin in a coffee shop, I think in New York. And he does not look good. I think he has been aging more than 1 year per year since he shot that lady. He looks old and tired and like he's lost some muscle mass. And people on the right are not fond of Alec Baldwin. He used to wear his Trump derangement on his sleeve. And I think he wanted to take away people's guns. So there was some schadenfreude when he was involved in a gun accident. Instead of trying to take away people's guns, maybe you should learn the three rules of gun safety, Alec. But this crackhead Barney lady is such a mega bitch. I think even people that didn't like Alec Baldwin, they were instantly on his side, at least while they were watching the video. Here's a clip.
Alec, can you please stay free Palestine one time? Why did you kill that lady? You killed that lady and got no jail time? No jail time, Alec? No jail time, Alec. You're putting innocent people in jail, Alec Baldwin. Free Palestine, Alec, just one time, and I'll leave you alone. I'll leave you alone, I swear. Just say free Palestine one time. One time. One time. One time, Alec. You know he's a criminal. You know he's a fucking criminal. Come on, Alec, just say free Palestine one time. One time, just one time, please. And I'll leave you alone. Free Palestine. Fuck Israel, fuck Zionism. Please say it. One time.
Well, it doesn't come through in the audio clip, but the whole thing is her following him around the coffee shop with her phone. And at the very end there was a sound, and that was him slapping her phone out of her hand. And I don't know why, but that part is pretty funny and satisfying. Joe Biden's been going around telling the story about how his uncle got eaten by cannibals. His uncle Bozy, who flew in the war. There was a funny meme on Twitter, had like a picture of an angry Joe Biden, and it said, "If you didn't eat my Uncle Bozy, then you ain't black." Here's a clip.
And my uncle, they called him Ambrose, Brozy, they called him Bozy. My Uncle Bozy was a hell of an athlete, they'd tell me when he was a kid. And he became an Army Air Corps before the Air Force came along. He flew those single-engine planes as reconnaissance over war zones. And he got shot down in New Guinea. And they never found the body because there used to be a lot of cannibals for real in that part of New Guinea.
And if you have to explain a joke, then it ain't funny. But that meme was referencing the time that Biden went on the Breakfast Club radio show and was talking to Charlemagne the God, and he said, "If you don't vote for Joe Biden, then you ain't black." And apparently there was some cannibalism on Papua New Guinea. And I finally learned how to say it. I used to say Papua New Guinea, but it's Papua. So it's kind of like Papa Wa, but a little more Fiva to the flavor. And I looked up Polynesia on a map the other day, or to see, you know, what part of the map was Polynesia. But now I can't remember. But Papua was... it was just outside of being considered Polynesia. I think Polynesia was like, so you know where China is, and then below that's Vietnam, and then below that's Thailand, and that's like a peninsula, and then there's a bunch of islands that go down below that. Well, all those islands are Polynesia. I think Indonesia, Malaysia are in there. I think the farther down you go, the more kind of Hawaiian the people look, you know, like girls in grass skirts. But if you go down all those islands and you go all the way, at the end, you hit Australia. And they do not look like Hawaiian. They don't look like girls with grass skirts. Put your skirt back on. And so basically, as you go down the islands, you're looking like Hawaiian girls. But then, you know, Australia, you're looking like an Aborigine. And so I think the last couple islands before Australia, the people look more like Aborigines. And that's Papua New Guinea. And I was watching someone who was talking about how they did used to have cannibals there. I don't think they do it anymore. but they were not pulling fighter pilots out of the ocean going, "Hey, that white man looks tasty. Tastes like chicken. The other white meat." It was something about eating their ancestors as a sign of respect. And so maybe they had to eat the whole body, you know, finger licking good, good to the last drop. Hopefully people on Papua New Guinea died young back then, or they had the right kind of plants to make toothpicks out of. I don't know. Cannibalism, just kind of funny. And maybe those cannibals are where we learned about mad cow disease and prions from. So prions, they're not a bacteria, they're not a virus. I think they're their own thing. They're like a whole nother thing, kind of like a virus. And I think most of them are found in the brain. And so like mad cow disease, I think that's, you don't want to be eating cow brain. And similar, if you have to eat a person, avoid the brain. Toothpicks or not. And so I don't know if the human version is exactly the same as mad cow disease, or it's just, there's a mad human disease as well as mad cow disease. But like, obviously bacteria, but viruses too, they will get destroyed if you bring them up to, I don't know, boiling temperatures. But prions can go through way beyond, you know, 100 degrees Celsius, 212 Fahrenheit. And I think what was going on with mad cow was you were just taking everything that was left over from the cow. I mean, they use most of the cow, but anyways, there are some parts that are left over. And they would just cook it so much until it was like a fine white powder, powdered cow. And then they would sprinkle that powdered cow back into the cow food. But these prions are amazing things that even when they get that hot, they can make it through that. And so I guess some of the prions were getting into the powdered cow and getting fed back to the cows, giving those cows mad cow disease. And then I think the cows would start acting weird and falling over and stuff, and it eats like holes in your brain. The Grants Pass, Oregon homeless case was argued in front of the Supreme Court this week. And I went to first grade at Redwood Elementary in Grants Pass in like 1979. But Grants Pass is a small city in southern Oregon, and it's a nice city. You know, I think, relatively speaking, it's a nice city to be homeless in. And the city has gotten tired of all the homeless people living there, and they've been trying to pass laws and crack down and get rid of the homeless. And so I don't know exactly. I think they passed a law outlawing camping within city limits or something. And, you know, camping means maybe having a campfire, maybe sleeping with a blanket. I think you can go have a picnic and, you know, be on a blanket and fall asleep because it's such a nice day, but don't put the blanket over you. But Oregon is part of the Ninth Circuit. That's the California Circuit, the level of courts right below the Supreme Court. It's the woke one. Ninth Circuit is woke. And they said that banning camping in the city is unconstitutional, based on the Eighth Amendment, which bans cruel and unusual punishment. And some of the questions are like, you know, if you can't camp, basically, if you can't be homeless, if you can't sleep in your car or sleep on a park bench, then maybe that's just, you know, it's illegal to not be rich enough to have an apartment. Can't make that a law. You know, just go to the other city that doesn't ban camping. Well, what happens if every city bans camping? Well, let's call it being homeless instead of camping. So that's one question. What if one city can ban being homeless because you could just go to the other city? Well, what if they all ban it? If there are beds available in shelters, then can you ban homeless people? Like they need to go take advantage of one of those beds? What if those beds are provided by a church? You know, I guess sometimes churches will say, you can have a bed, but you got to listen to a 1-hour sermon. Well, that's not so bad, I guess. What if you're a Jew? You're like, I can't listen to a sermon. I'm a Jew. And then in Oregon, we keep having these homeless camps. I mean, they turn into little cities and they'll have fires and they'll set their own little city on fire and people get killed and stuff. But what if you're homeless in North Dakota and if you don't have a fire to warm yourself, you're going to die in the winter? You know, basically, America needs to close its border so that all the people moving here don't drive up the price of housing through the roof. and then maybe some zoning changes so that we can build flop houses like we had back in the day. But anyways, Supreme Court can't do any of that stuff, so we'll see what happens. Are you a pro-life dead-ender? I was listening to someone talk about politicians getting together and voting for something, and it was going to be pro-abortion rights, pro-choice. And they're like, oh yeah, they're all going to vote for it, except for some dead-enders. And it made me want to say the phrase, dead-enders. So now I've done it. But there's a bit of a change in the Republican Party as they keep getting shellacked over abortion, and they're starting to change their tune. I've already talked about that before, you know. Are these politicians, is this where they're going to make a stand and have integrity all about abortion, or are they just going to switch at the drop of a hat? We'll see. But I looked up the definition of dead ender, and it's, I guess it comes from politics, and it's basically like supporting something that is going away and is not going to be supported by anyone else. You know, you're one of the last people to support something that's toast. But I think you can say dead enders about anything. I think there was a British TV show, I didn't watch it, about like maybe a couple guys who lived in London and were poor and, you know, could barely pay the rent, and they were just like smoking and drinking and just trying to get by, could barely hold down a job, and I think it was just called dead enders. They were dead enders. I guess I'll say this. I think it's a British term. But see, I guess Wednesday night, Arizona and Idaho and their abortion stuff was on NBC Nightly News. And so the Arizona thing started like a month ago when they had a law from 1864 that outlawed abortion, almost period. And it wasn't in effect. And then the Arizona Supreme Court said, oh yeah, that law stands. And like the Arizona politicians had recently passed a law saying you can have abortions up to 12 weeks. And so, you know, the question was, what are the politicians going to do? Well, this week it looks, I think they started the process to overturn the 1864 law, which will then leave the 12-week law in place. But basically, NBC Nightly News covered the Arizona thing a month ago and was like, hey, viewers, you better vote for Democrats because look what they're doing in Arizona. They're taking away all your abortions. And so I was just curious to see if they're like, oh, hey, remember when we said vote for Democrats because they take away your abortions? Well, hey, they're giving you the abortions so you can vote for Republicans. Anyways, they did not say that. And unfortunately, it wasn't the perfect test because Idaho has some sort of abortion ban law that has gone up in front of the Supreme Court, and it was argued on Wednesday. So they were like, oh, that Arizona thing, never mind that. Look at Idaho. Look what Idaho's doing. You better vote Democrat. So that's the media analysis on that. And see, this case that went before the Supreme Court for Idaho, I guess there's a federal law that says if you're going to be, I don't know, not die, but anyways, if you're about to have a real serious medical malfunction, then like an ER has to take you in and help you. If you cut off your leg and you show up at the doors of the emergency room, they cannot turn you away, and that's a federal law. And then Idaho has an abortion ban which says life of the mother, but not health of the mother. So I guess, you know, if a woman shows up at the ER and is like, this baby is going to kill me, well, then the ER has to give her an abortion. But if the lady says, this baby is going to, you know, obviously the baby's going to die and it's going to destroy all my reproductive organs unless you give me an abortion, then they have to, I guess what they're doing now is they put you on a helicopter and fly you to Oregon because, anyways, it's life of the mother, not health of the mother. But that contradicts the federal law, which is health, not just if you're going to die. Basically, whatever. We'll see on that. But it illustrates something that just keeps coming up over and over. And so basically, the human body is complex. And lady parts, it looks like they're the most complex. I don't just mean the good lady parts. I mean all of them, all the way up, all the way through, back and around, and on down. And so basically, the Supreme Court was like, okay, states, you can start writing your own abortion laws. And then every time they write a law, people are like, oh, what about, you know, how does that work with this super rare type of medical malfunction? Like, you know, the first obvious one is, what if the woman is going to die unless she gets an abortion? Which, you know, that's probably, you know, it's probably a one in a million thing, but anyways, complex system, it's possible. But anyways, then, you know, pro-life people, they're like, oh, no, we thought of that. We put that in there, you know, exception for life of the mother. But basically, they're just looking for chinks in the armor, and it's like, oh, what if you're going to have to rip out all the reproductive organs? So that's this case here. I guess basically, put it this way, how long does it take to pass a law? You know, to write a law and pass it, it takes months, maybe a year or something. And so you just constantly find little rare occurrences that are not covered by the law to challenge each law. And if they rewrite the law to cover that one, you can always go find another. And so it's kind of like you got a couple options. You can either have abortions for everyone anytime they want, a la carte, chuck wagon buffet, 12 for a dollar, buy 10, get one free. Or you can say, I don't care, no abortions ever. I don't care if your uterus is hanging out. No, never, not once. But then if you say that, the voters are like, we're throwing you all out. Well, and the other thing about it is like, you know, maybe you write the laws, you're like, okay, in these three cases, yes, but in these four other cases, no. And then behind that thing is always this question of, you're like, oh, so in those three cases, the answer is yes? You're like, yeah. You're like, well, what if you lie and say you're one of those three cases? So three cases, yes. Four cases, no. What about three cases, yes, if you're lying? And then in four cases, no. And then it's like, okay, these three cases, yes, if the woman lies and the doctor lies. And then you're like, okay, well, those three cases, yes, if the woman lies, but the doctor doesn't lie. You're like, no, 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 they both gotta lie. And then you're like, okay, okay, so these three cases, yes, if the woman lies and the doctor lies. Now, can the doctor do the appointment over a Zoom call and the doctor is in California? And it's like, no, that's a no. It has to be these three cases, the woman lies, and the doctor is a doctor in this state. But I'm a transgender, while I'm running on the track. ChatGPT wrote these words, I'm never looking back. They say I'm not enough, that I don't fit the mold. But I'm a transgender warrior and I'm feeling bold. Can a girl have a penis? Is that becoming the age-old question? Well, it seems like legally speaking, maybe the answer is yes. The Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals just said West Virginia can't pass a law that said you have to be born a girl to play girls' sports. You can't be born a boy and decide later on you're a girl and play girls' sports. Well, that was the law, anyways, except now it's not the law. And so gender identity discrimination is heading towards the Supreme Court. We haven't got there yet. The Fourth Circuit is one step below the Supreme Court. It covers South Carolina, Virginia, West Virginia, Maryland, everything around Washington, D.C., except not Washington, D.C. itself. So to try and figure this all out, let's go chronologically all the way back. So there's the Equal Protection Clause, which says that everyone should have equal protection under the law. I think it's from the 14th Amendment, which is the ending slavery one. And then in 1964, they passed the Civil Rights Act, which said that blacks were equal, but they also said other things were equal, like religion and sex. And we don't have the word gender at all yet, but we got sex. 1964. But that didn't quite get it done for the ladies, because in 1972, they passed some sort of education thing, which the only famous part is Title IX. So Title IX from 72, and it basically said that all the universities, if they had men's sports, then they had to go create women's sports. I think more specifically, it said that institutions that take federal money have to treat women equally. And every university and college takes money from the feds. So they need to treat women equally. And the most obvious thing there was sports. But that's the end of it as far as constitutional amendments and laws go. They don't mention the gays. And we certainly hadn't gotten to the transers. But in 2020, the Supreme Court backdoored it. See what I did there? To include the gays. Bostock versus Clayton County, maybe. Some guy said at work that he was interested in joining a gay baseball team, and they fired him. And the 2020 Supreme Court ruled 6-3. So this is a bunch of conservative ones, a bunch of Trump judges agreed. This was discrimination on sex. And the way that worked was a woman can say that she likes men or wants to join a baseball team with a bunch of people who like men, but a man can't say that he likes men. So now you're treating man different from woman. You're not letting the man say he likes men, but you're letting women say that she likes men, so that's not equal. So the gays are covered, and that was under employment, but I think once you do it there, you're probably going to do it everywhere. Well, actually, the 64th Civil Rights Act talks about employment. So that's how the gays got into the 64th Civil Rights Act. And can't you get the transers in under that one too? I don't know. I don't know if this is the plan all along. Anyways, now what we're going to do is we're going to get the transers and their sports. I guess because it's sports. So anyways, transers want to play sports where they can beat everyone. They like winning. Everyone does. And so I think, you know, legal activists have been trying to get gender identity into the 72 Title IX Education Act thing. And so I think to talk about this, we're going to say we have boy boys, girl girls, that's just boys and girls, and then boy girls. Born a boy, identifies as a girl. So in West Virginia, there was a boy girl who decided they were a girl real young, I think third grade, and they got put on puberty blockers, STAT, and I think they were going to school like they were a girl, you know, playing girls' sports, and then this law came around that said they couldn't play girls' sports. So that created some lawsuits that most recently got to the Fourth Circuit. Now, things are going to get a little complicated here. But why did Title IX say that girls need their own sports at college? Like, girls could play on the boys' team. Maybe not way back in the day, but, you know, in the 70s or certainly today, you'd just be like, hey, girls, why don't you play on the boys' team? Like, hey, girls, just try out for the 70s UCLA basketball team along with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and if you're good enough, you'll get on the team just like he did. Well, whoever decided, girls need a sport where they can be competitive, where they can compete. And so what you need to do so that girls can compete, because they would not be able to compete against Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, is you make girls basketball. So the Fourth Circuit kind of said, this boy-girl has been on puberty blockers. They're not going to be able to compete with the boys. But I think they went farther than that, and they said a boy-girl, person who identifies as a girl, is a girl. And you're trying to make this girl play on the boys' team where they won't be able to compete. And so that's where stuff gets a little tricky, because now you'd have three kinds of girls. You'd have your classic girls, who obviously get their own girls' sports. And then you'd have two kinds of boy girls. One kind that can compete against the boys, because they haven't taken no puberty blockers. And then another kind of boy girl that cannot compete against the boys, because they have been taking puberty blockers, so they gotta go compete with the girls, to be fair. And so I think the court was trying to be tricky, where they didn't say trans girls can play on the girls' team, period. They didn't say that. They said this specific trans girl can. So it's not a blanket ruling of no discrimination based on gender identity. Because if you say that, then something funny happens. because boy boys, your classic old school type of boy, made out of snips and snails and puppy dog tails, well, they got a gender identity too, right? They're not just a boy, they're a boy boy. So their sex is boy, and their gender identity is boy. So if you say they can't play on the girls' team, you're discriminating against them based on their gender identity. I mean, I think you can see, it's a bunch of hogwash. They're just starting with the result that they want and working back, trying to come up with something to justify it. Basically, the result they want is fuck Trump supporters. Now, how can we create some legal mumbo jumbo to get there? And so here's the part where the court is getting tricky. Is it on purpose or is it just a happy coincidence? But the Supreme Court doesn't just hear every case, obviously. And what they like to hear are general cases, not specific cases. So this court saying, oh, this is just a specific case about this one boy-girl, this is not about gender identity overall, means that hopefully this will go up and down, you know, if this is the case or some other case. Anyways, it'll be a few years until the Supreme Court finds the general version of this that they will hear and rule on. And basically, the longer it takes before they get there, the more the mainstream media gets to go, like, remember with abortion, they're like, they overturned 50 years of precedent. Aren't these a bunch of evil Nazis? Well, the longer this goes, the mainstream media can be like, they overturned blah, blah years of precedent. What a bunch of evil Nazis. Well, the Tuesday episode of Advisory Opinions talks about all this. And Sarah mentions that she has a 3.5-year-old son, and he ain't acting like a girl already. So just taking puberty blockers is not going to level the playing field entirely. I mean, scientists know, don't ever start a study on any of this stuff, because you're obviously going to get the not woke answer. Like, you know, why don't you just grab large amounts of 8-year-old boys and 8-year-old girls and just see what their average running time is and see who's faster. Or if they do studies, I'm sure they're cooking the books. I'm not talking about the girls from Compton versus the boys from Chinatown. And also, the decision was 2-1. It was 3 judges. They didn't all agree. And the one judge's dissent was a bunch of ironclad logic. And I think the 2 other judges was a bunch of wishy-washy hogwash, how they wished the world was. Their feelings don't care about the facts. Oh, and I'm not sure how the Constitution applies. If the equal protection under the law clause gets in there, I mean, you know, that's scorched earth. Everything else has to get out of the way. But I think that leaves up the leeway of who's equal. Girls are equal to boy boys, so they get their own sports. But boy girls are equal to girl girls, so they get to elbow on in. Or it just depends on which president picks which Supreme Court justice. Let's run through the tech news. Reservations for some hard-to-get-into restaurants in New York City are selling for $1,000 a piece on the internet. The Slate Money podcast was talking about it. They mentioned Carbone's and Rao's, which is a couple of upscale red sauce Italian restaurants. And I think they're just famous for being hard to get reservations for, which then means everyone wants to get a reservation. It's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. And there's some sort of website where you can go and do your reservations. I guess you don't have to call like the old days. And that's part's free. But then other people have set up like bots to go and snap up all the reservations real quick as soon as they go on sale. And then there's other websites where you go and resell them. It's scalping. And I don't have an opinion. I just think people find it interesting to pay $1,000 for something that, hey, that should be free. But then, you know, a reservation on Saturday night is worth more than Monday afternoon, so why shouldn't you pay more? Or people who are willing to pay more, why shouldn't they get it? And then why shouldn't the restaurant get the money instead of the scalper or whatever? And then they mentioned the city of Venice, is that, I think, Italy? And Manhattan, the island in New York. They both have fees to go visit them. So, cost you money to get into a restaurant. Now it costs you money to go into a city. And it's like, what about the poor? Are you saying the poor can't visit Venice? I mean, were the poor really visiting Venice before? I mean, a few years ago, there'd be 100 articles talking about how black people can't go to Venice. But we seem to have moved past that. Tesla stock had lost about 20% over the last month, and then here at the end of that period, got that 20% back. Number go up, whatever. So who knows why, but the stock price did that. But Tesla's full self-driving thing, where it drives the car, but you have to pay attention, it has gotten a lot better lately. And there's been an explosion of little YouTube channels of people just putting out videos of them letting the car drive them around. You know, maybe they'll, you know, here's a 25-minute video where it did everything perfectly, or, you know, here's a 30-second video of the car almost killing me. But anyways, there's just a lot more videos and channels. And it's AI driving the car, and we don't know how AI works, just like we don't know how the human brain works. So we don't know if the car is about to be safe enough that you can take a nap. But it looks like maybe in the next year or something, if you own a Tesla, you can take a nap. You can sleep the whole time. Maybe. And there's a couple companies that already have driverless taxis, Waymo and Cruise. Waymo is owned by Google. Seems like they're the best one out of the driverless cars. But I learned there's actually a driver somewhere far off, kind of like how there's a, Las Vegas has a bunch of drone pilots for the drones that bomb people in the Middle East. Well, Waymo has drivers in some, you know, building somewhere hooked up to the internet. And I think, I don't know, like if there's a dead cow in front of the, in the middle of the road, the Waymo car doesn't know what to do about a dead cow. And so like a person has to take over. And so that's a possible driverless future. I think like the, we don't know. We don't know what the person on the other end driving it does, but it sounds like maybe they just do it with like a Xbox controller. Like they don't need to be moving the clutch and the gas and the blah blah. You just, you know, car go forward, back, left, right. You know, the car figures it out from you doing the controller. And so then maybe you could hire people in India to drive the cars when the car doesn't know what to do. And maybe each person in India can deal with 10 cars at a time or 100 cars at a time, because mostly the car can do it. It's just, you know, the dead cow. Oh, and if you want a YouTube channel for the Tesla thing, check out Whole Mars Catalog. He's a guy who's Twitter friends with Elon Musk, so he seems to get special privileges and get the newest driverless software before other people. And he mentioned the other day that he has a special ability. He doesn't have to deal with the nag. Not the neg, that's how you pick up a chick, but when you use the neg to pick up a chick and years later you're still together, then it's the nag. But normally the car makes you touch the steering wheel like maybe once every 60 seconds or something to say, yeah, I'm still paying attention, I haven't fallen asleep. But Whole Mars Catalog doesn't have to do that. So, you know, you can watch him do a half hour drive where he never touches the steering wheel and it just goes curb to curb. And I've been listening to a lot of business podcasts lately, and everyone's always talking about moats, like a water barrier around a castle. And so ChatGPT has been the number one AI LLM thing, but Meta/Facebook, they just came out with their new one called Llama 3, and it's about as good as ChatGPT-4, whatever. It's, you know, it's as good as the best one, just about. And they're giving it away for free, whereas ChatGPT, you got to pay for it. So it's like, what's the moat for OpenAI and ChatGPT where some other company just can't come in and, you know, steal their lunch, drink their milkshake? I guess it's eat their lunch. And people think they're going to come out with ChatGPT-5 any day, any week, any month now. And that's their moat, because theirs is the best one and they're ahead of everyone else. But if they don't do that, then they ain't got no moat, and Meta is just going to put them and everyone out of business if the best one is free and anyone can use it. And Facebook's moat is they own Facebook and Instagram, so they got all these users. So maybe that's, you know, what you need is billions of users plus an AI. And so, you know, maybe Elon Musk and Twitter, they got hundreds of millions of users. Maybe he'll be okay. He, you know, he's got his own AI. I mean, no one knows. And then Google's got their own AI. But Google makes its money from putting ads at the top of Google searches. Like, you know, you search for Mexican restaurant Manhattan, they can start throwing, you know, they know exactly what you're looking for, right? You know, targeted ads, those are perfectly targeted for someone when they want a Mexican restaurant in Manhattan, and then you, whatever, the restaurants pay Google to put them at the top. So that's not, I mean, that's still going to be around, but I've noticed that I've been going to AI to answer questions more and more, so that's money coming out of Google's pocket. If I ever, ever clicked on an ad, which I don't. Well, one of the moats about AI is you need billions of dollars of NVIDIA chips to do it. Plus, you know, it just takes money. Money is a moat. But then driverless cars, maybe you can build the AI for it easily. But the moat is, can you build the cars? It's not easy to build, ramp up giant factories and produce millions of cars. You know, so maybe Ford and Chevy can turn their cars into robots quickly, or maybe Google can build car factories quickly, or maybe, you know, Tesla is just in the perfect spot. Or maybe there's some Chinese electric car manufacturers that are in a perfect spot too. BYD is the famous one. Okay, I don't know if you heard of BYD. You don't buy them in America, but they're starting to be the number one manufacturer around the world. And it stands for Build Your Dreams. And it's kind of crazy. Like, you know, on your car, how it'll say like 314i and like little silver letters or something, you know, whatever it says on your car, 6.0L if you got a 6 liter. The BYDs have Build Your Dreams, like the whole thing spelled out, BUILD space YOUR, etc. Very strange looking cars, and I think that goes across the back of the trunk. And so AI chatbots are LLMs, large language models. And so I learned what, you know, robots and driverless cars are using. They're using something called a convolutional neural network. And I'm going to try and describe that. It probably is not possible. Don't worry about it if it makes no sense. But convolutional, think convoluted. Like an example that people give is the surface of a brain, how it's a bunch of ins and outs and squiggly lines, you know, your brain. And so, you know, a squiggle, it's like a line that goes up. And then it goes to the right, then maybe it goes up again and to the left. It doesn't matter, but it goes up and right and left and down and goes around, and it's a squiggle. And so this video I was watching from IBM, they said, let's take a house as an example. A house is basically a square on the bottom with a triangle on the top. You know, it's the main part of the house plus the roof. And so I guess from a high level, the way you create a convolutional neural net that'll know what a house is you show it a bunch of pictures of houses, and it will be like, oh, square with square on the bottom, triangle on the top, that's a house. And then you can ask it, you know, you can show it, that's how you train it, and then you can later on ask it, hey, is there a house in this picture? And it'll be like, well, is there a square with a triangle on top? And then yes or no, if there's a house or not. That should make sense. Now, how does it know what a square is? Well, a square has 4 corners and 4 sides. So, you know, it can figure out what a side is. That's a straight line. It's like, okay, so we want 4 straight lines, and in between them, we want 4 corners. And each corner will be like an up and to the right, or a to the right and down, or down and to the left. And finally, the last one would be to the left and up. That's the part that I'm sure makes no sense. But anyways, what it does is it just looks at little twists and turns, and you know, if it gets 4 of these kinds of twists and turns, well, that's a square. And then some back of the napkin math on what if you buy a Tesla that can drive itself, or you already own one, can you just turn it into an Uber and make money? Well, Uber costs, I looked it up, I don't know, costs $1 to $2 a mile. 70% of that is the human's salary, so that'd be like, you know, let's call it $1 a mile. If your car could drive around 60 miles an hour, you know, you'd be making $60 an hour in your car. Your car would just be out making you $60 an hour. Anyways, that is not how it works. No one wants a ride in the middle of the night. You got to pay for the electricity. Seems like if you don't use the car for yourself, it'll make you maybe 10 grand a year, which would then pay for the car and 4 or 5 years. So it's kind of like you'd have a free car. You just, This car would just be parked in front of your house. Sometimes it would be gone, other times. And after 5 years, it's yours. You know, how do you keep the car clean? Does the car just go somewhere and you pay a service, or you want to save the money so you clean it yourself? What if someone pukes in your car? The All In podcast, they mentioned you wouldn't have to chauffeur your kids around and take them to their soccer matches. That seems kind of interesting to me. How much would people pay for that? And I don't know how crazy it'll be because, you know, you being in a car and driving versus you being in a car and not driving, not really very different. Now, driverless trucks that Tesla is working on, that will make a big difference with the truck driver and the truck driving company. I thought I was going to talk about this for like 5 minutes. I guess let's get it all out. There's more. Is the future here? Well, it depends on edge cases. So until the Tesla can deal with the dead cow in the middle of the road, it can't really just be turned loose. And so, you know, that's an edge case. Just these things that don't happen very often, but are important, that's called edge case. And that's where Tesla may have the moat, because they've got millions of cars with drivers dealing with edge cases. And currently, not every Tesla driver or every car is sending data back to Tesla to train it. They don't have the compute to use all the possible data that's heading their way. Like currently, if the car's driving itself and then you slam on the brakes, then maybe it'll just send back, you know, 10 seconds of video around that and see if that was something important it needs to learn. Well, and that relies on NVIDIA chips, which the reason why Meta Facebook is doing so good at AI is they happen to be sitting on many billions of dollars of NVIDIA chips that they bought because they were trying to do a video thing like TikTok. And then it turned out they have the stockpile of all the chips needed for AI. That was how that happened. So dealing with edge cases, so we don't know if these cars are going to drive themselves in a few months from now, or it's going to take 50 years because they've got to figure out the edge cases, and no one knows how long to train them to deal with every last little edge case. And Tesla used to program their cars by hand, so every edge case meant a programmer had to sit down and write something, code up something to deal with the edge case. Now the edge cases are just video into a trained neural net. So we shall see. And then Tesla's also trying to build the Tesla bot, like a humanoid robot. And everyone and their dog wants to build a humanoid robot. You know, that just, you replace every worker. Obviously, there's the most money out of anything you could invent. And, you know, again, the moat on that is it's one thing to invent a robot, which hasn't been done yet, but it's another thing to crank out 10 million robots a year from your factories, which Tesla may be positioned well for. Or China. But, so Tesla cars have like 5 cameras looking out at the world, and then, you know, it has the accelerator, the brake, and the steering wheel. And so the neural net is trained with cameras in, and then what comes out is touching the brake and the accelerator and the steering wheel. So vision in, controls out. And it's pretty easy with a car compared to a robot. Like, how do you train a robot? So maybe you wear a suit that has a bunch of sensors on it, so you do it in the suit, and then the robot mimics that. And apparently this just doesn't work that good, you know, or the robot can watch you and see what you do with its eyes, you know, the way a human does it. You watch another human do it, you just do what they did. But it's better to have the camera like from inside the robot's brain, inside its eyeballs. And so the All In podcast, they were talking about this East Asian kid at Stanford who had invented a little device, and it was basically like a robot hand with a pistol grip attached to it. You know, so just imagine a pistol with the handle and the trigger and the gun part on top. But you take off the gun part and you put a robot hand on there. And also a camera. And they were training it how to pick up a teacup and not splash the water out. And so they would just use this thing to grab a cup off of the table and pick it up. And so that was the video in, and the controls out was making the hand pinch, same thing as you pulling the trigger. So there are ways, and then there are ways. It's going to be interesting. Politics and Donald J. Trump. Politics and Trump, I'm the energy whopper. Some Joe wanted to do, it's anti-woke podcast time. let's check in on the blacks. So I got a clip from Stephen A. Smith talking about Trump. I think he went on Fox News. And I've been trying to think of who speaks for black people today, or, you know, maybe the media will say speaks for them. So there's Charlemagne the God, who has a radio show. You know, he's a candidate. Joe Biden went on his show and said, if you don't vote for Joe Biden, you ain't black. I think he said it like that, speaking in the third person. I mean, I guess, like, I don't watch black things. I don't watch mainstream media things in general. But it's like, you know, who produces clips that go viral or whatever, or just used by internet people that I do watch? And so Charlemagne the God, and then Stephen A. Smith. I looked it up. You know, what does this guy do? He's a sports commentator. He has a show on ESPN. I mean, I've never watched it. The thing I know about that is it's always been like a two-person show. And the other guy was a white man, and then they fired him and put a woman in place of the white guy. And so they kept Stephen A. Smith because he was the talented one, or maybe because he's a black guy, or I think actually both. Basically, I spent 30 seconds grabbing this clip, and now I gotta talk for an hour to justify it. But so, he's talking about how black men are criminals, so Donald Trump being a criminal makes them like him. Whoops, no, that's not the spin you put on it. Black men didn't do nothing, and the cops are still going after them. They're railroading them. Or maybe both things are true. Here's the clip.
I think about Donald Trump. I think about this case in New York. I mean, I'm looking at the Democrats right now. And again, primarily, I have voted Democrat throughout my life, but I'm utterly disgusted with what I'm seeing, because it seems to me that they're trying to use the law and the courts. They've clearly politicized this thing with Donald Trump because they can't come up with a strategy to offset the momentum he's clearly gained.
I got to tell you something. As much as people may have been abhorred by Donald Trump's statement weeks ago, talking about how black folks, he's hearing that black folks find him relatable because what he's going through is similar to what black Americans have gone through, he wasn't lying. He was telling the truth. When you see the law enforcement, the court system, and everything else being exercised against him, it is something that black folks throughout this nation can relate to with some of our historic, iconic figures. We've seen that happen throughout society. So no matter what race, what ethnicity you may emanate from, we relate to you when you're suffering like that, because we know we have.
Let's check in on the presidential betting markets. Joe Biden, 54. Donald Trump, 45. So Biden is up 9. I think Biden being up by 9 or 10, that's the most he's been up. And that's like the last week or two. And, you know, before that, Trump was up by a little bit. And I was wondering the other week, is it because Trump's on trial? But Trump has been down in the polls, which is what the betting markets use to make their bets, basically. And he's been down in the polls probably a couple weeks before the trial. And now it's been about a month that he's down compared to where he used to be. And I heard a theory. It's the best one I've heard so far. It's media coverage of Trump makes him go down. And it's not that the mainstream media hates Trump. I mean, they do. But that's not what's required. It's just any coverage. Like, if you watch the nightly news, it's just a bunch of bad news. I'm sure someone tried to do a good news, nightly news show at one point, and no one watched it. So anyways, they know, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. You know, if a tornado goes through a trailer park, then that, you know, that leads the night, usually. And then if you're going to talk politics, you got to talk about the bad part of politics. That's just the human reptilian brain or whatever just wants to hear the bad news. That's what kept the caveman safe from the saber-toothed tiger. And the news used to be talking about Biden and how old he is, how, you know, some voters maybe ain't voting him because of the Gaza-Israel thing. And anyways, the news has switched to Trump. And now the timing of all this doesn't match up exactly right. But like 2 or 3 months ago, the Biden campaign, they switched their way of doing stuff. They had been not mentioning Trump, like just complete and utter, never mention the guy. I think Biden would say my predecessor. He wouldn't even say the word, like Voldemort. And then they decided to start talking about Trump. And then the media basically followed suit. I don't know, you know, there's no conspiracy. They just, I think they're like, oh, Biden's calling Trump a racist? Huh, I could write an article about calling Trump a racist. I guess, yeah, it's monkey see, monkey do, not conspiracy. And I watch ABC World News Tonight and NBC Nightly News on YouTube, not to find out what's going on in the world, but just to see what's being fed the public. And like this week, it's Trump and his trials, and then the protests on college campuses over Israel-Gaza. And I'm not interested in those things. So like, I don't know, luckily on YouTube, you can see a little timeline thing if you hover, and you can skip to the segment you want. So I basically have been skipping all the Trump's trials ones. And the college protest ones, there's not that much going on. You know, like there's not enough violence. There's not some interesting violence to check in on. So I've been kind of skipping that. There really is just nothing on the news that I've gotten full. I'm full up. I want some interesting crime stories, but they're really not providing them. I don't think crime has stopped. They're just not talking about it. Well, so Trump's trial will be over in a month. We'll see what the media talks about after that. And there was a good episode of the Gist podcast this week where they had a Lawfare guy on there talking about the trial. And it's like, well, what exactly is Trump charged with? And I don't know, the Lawfare has a bunch of lawyers that discuss the thing every night. And they're like, we're not entirely sure. Well, I'm going to play a clip of that, but let's see if we can ground ourselves with what's going on. When the nightly news talks about the trial, they will say something like, he's on trial for lying on his business records. And that's not exactly right, but the whole thing is so convoluted, plus large parts of it are unknown, that I think that's just what you say. That's what they've agreed to all say. And you know, what is the general public doesn't know no different. Like the first thing they don't say is, he's on trial for lying on his business records 8 years ago, and there was a 2-year statute of limitations, so, you know, he should have been not be able to be charged for that for the last 6 years. But anyway, so they don't mention that because we don't know what happened, what you say after the but part there. But you can get around the statute of limitations if the lying was done in the furtherance of another crime. And so there was, I guess there's three options. It could be, the other crime could be something to do with taxes, something could be to do with federal election interference, or third thing, state election interference. And we don't know for sure, but it looks like they're going to go with the state election interference thing. Like I had heard, and I had mentioned on this podcast, that it seemed like they're going with the federal one, but these are state, you know, district attorneys who can't charge federal crimes. How are they going to make that work? Well, I guess they found a state one. Basically, stick a pin in it. We'll know more later. We may not really know what's going on until the judge gives the jury their instructions as they head into the jury room. And I learned this week about some guy, I can't remember his name, but he was like a lawyer under the Obama administration, you know, at the tail end when Trump was running, and he was going after Trump then. He might have been part of the DOJ. And then he went somewhere after Trump was elected, maybe a think tank or something. And he kept working on trying to get Trump convicted for stuff. And then Biden got elected, and so I think he went into the government and kept working on getting Trump convicted of stuff. And now maybe he's gone back out on his own, but he's helping the prosecution in New York. Basically, there's some lawyer, and I think for like the last 10 years, he's been able to find someone to pay him, this person sometimes, that person other times, to just look into how can you criminally charge Trump with something. And then he just goes and talks to prosecutors and is like, hey, here's a bunch of paperwork that you could use to prosecute. It's like how lobbyists write the laws for the politicians. Like, politicians don't write the laws. The politician's staff doesn't write the laws. The lobbyists give them the paperwork, and then they use that. Maybe they'll change it a little bit. I think a lot of times they don't change it at all. And they're like, oh, here's this law that I'm putting forward. So this guy is like, he's like a lobbyist for prosecuting Trump, which is all completely legal. But it does show you part of the political motivation. Well, okay, here's the clip of the Lawfare guy saying he's not entirely sure what's going on.
Also, but that prohibits, quote, conspiring to promote or prevent the election of any person to a public office by unlawful means. So that right there in the word is conspiracy. So we will be hearing of, co-conspirators and a conspiracy of that nature.
So wait, is Trump charged with that crime?
He is not, and it is admittedly very confusing. He doesn't, when the indictment came out, everyone noted that there is another crime as part of this theory, but the prosecution, I believe, doesn't have to prove it, and they don't have to, and they didn't have to charge it. So that's the murkiness, and I'll be honest, even at Lawfare, we've been trying to parse this. My colleague Quinta Jurassic has a forthcoming article that really lays it all out really well, and so I'll encourage listeners to do that. But I think all that is to say, if we at Lawfare are struggling to figure this out, I assume a jury will as well. There are two lawyers on the jury, but even so, it's quite a tangled web that the DA has woven.
But
well, let's go over some of the legal questions I've had about this and any possible answers I've come up with. Well, so first I will say, AI is good at answering legal questions. Like, one of the ways to tell how smart an AI is they have it take the LSAT, which is the law school SAT test to get into school. And the new AIs, you know, they're getting like Harvard law school grades on the law school test. So it's good at that. If you like, ask it, if I put two balls in a cup and I take one ball out, how many balls are left in a cup? AI cannot tell you the answer to that, but it can do some law talking dude stuff. So first, is lying in your business records a crime? Always. So my question to the AI was, like, if I say that I bought 100 pounds of chicken in my business document, but in fact I really bought 100 pounds of pork, is that a crime? And the answer is yes. But like, you know, what if I didn't do it for any bad reason? And the answer is, doesn't matter what your reason is, you just have to tell the truth on business records. That's the law. Like, if your business partner is Jewish and you thought it would be a funny joke to say you bought 100 pounds of pork, anyways, you still can't do it. And so the lying on the business statements was hush money to the porn star, but saying they were just general legal fees or something. And that's a misdemeanor. I don't know what the state election interference law is, but whatever it is, that's also a misdemeanor. And for some reason, the prosecution needs there to be a felony in all this stuff. Crap, I think I already started talking wrong. So this probably ain't gonna make no sense. Just don't worry about it, but I've still gotta try. So I think the hush money was a misdemeanor, and then doing a misdemeanor when you're doing it for an election makes that thing a misdemeanor. So now you got the election. You got the hush money misdemeanor turns the election thing into a misdemeanor. And then the election misdemeanor turns around and turns the original hush money thing into a felony. So let's just make this general. There's thing you did A and thing you did B. So thing you did A is a misdemeanor, turns thing you did B into a misdemeanor. And then if thing you did B is a misdemeanor, that goes back and turns thing you did A into a felony. I mean, it sounds like some hogwash, but maybe that's just the law, or maybe I'm not describing it right. Misdemeanor A turns B into a misdemeanor, which then turns A into a felony. And they might have done something like this to Derek Chauvin, the knee on the neck guy with George Floyd. Like, there's this thing that's kind of ambiguous, and I don't think it's been completely decided in the law. But for example, say you punch someone and then they fall over, hit their head, and die. And so that's murder. It doesn't matter if you meant to murder them. You know, you didn't want them to fall over, hit their head in the concrete, and die, but you did kill them, so that's murder. But then there's different kinds of murder. That would probably be like murder two, like the lesser murder charge. But then sometimes what prosecutors will do is they'll try and get you on murder one, the big time murder. Because, you know, one of the murder one criteria is murdering someone while you're committing a crime. So what's the crime? Well, punching someone is assault. So, like, you know, in the middle of your assault and they died, so that's murder one. But the punch is what killed them. So it's almost like, can murder be the crime that turns your murder into committing murder while you're committing a crime? Like if you shoot someone, you know, is shooting someone assault? I think if you shoot someone and they don't die, that can be, that's assault with a deadly weapon. But then it's like, what's the point of having there be a crime of murder while you're committing another crime if murder is always two crimes that always turns it in? Anyway, you get the idea. I don't know if you can hear the goose behind me, but I record outdoors and recording a podcast makes the geese come and yell at me. And like they come from a long ways away and then go like land in a tree and yell at me. I'm like, no geese for miles. Let's start recording a podcast. Ah, damn it. Well, and that clip mentioned a conspiracy there for a second. Somehow conspiracies need to be involved, which I think just means you need two people in there. Maybe that's what it was. It's a conspiracy to interfere with the election? I don't know. But, you know, if you do hush money, you better pass that check over yourself personally. Otherwise, two people are involved. That's a conspiracy. And then almost all of this stuff we knew, we've known for years. I mean, it's an old-ass situation from 8 years ago. They're only doing the prosecution now to try and rig the election. But we did get one new bit of information, which ain't good for Trump. Because one of the questions was, is he paying the hush money to interfere with the election? Or is he just paying the hush money to, you know, protect his family, to save his family from the fact that he was cheating? And so part of that, the guy they've been grilling for like 4 days or something is the National Enquirer publisher, who had been withholding a story about Trump cheating until the election was over. It doesn't matter. But anyways, part of the stuff he was doing was like, okay, we just need to keep this story out of the media until the election is over, as opposed to we need to keep it out of the media forever because to save your family, you know, to save your family, you'd want it out of the media forever. And then I think I said this last week, but the more I learn, the more it sounds like the jury almost doesn't matter. Unless someone just says, I ain't voting to convict, that would matter. You know, like, I don't care what the facts are. I don't care what the judge says. I don't care what the facts are. I'm not convicting. Or if all 12 of them say, I don't care what anyone says, we are convicting. Unless that happens, I think it all is going to come down to the judge's jury instructions. Like, especially as the crime being more and more convoluted, that just means it's more and more up to the judge. Because, you know, the jurors don't know. They don't know that this is the crazy, stupidest way to charge someone ever, and it's purely to rig an election. They only know what the judge tells them. And one of the things that they're asked before they're put on the jury is, do you affirm that you will do what the judge tells you, no matter what he tells you? And they have, so, you know, you're only on the jury if you say yes to that. Well, that's the end of the episode. Links in the description, and thanks for listening. Thanks for listening.